Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, June the 13th, the Cardinal of Hong Kong calls for mutual respect and dialogue as the extradition protest crisis deepens in his country. Pope Francis issues a decalogue of do's and don'ts for pontifical representatives across the globe. And in his message for the Third World Day of the Poor, the Pope urges Christians to collaborate to ensure no one is deprived of closeness and solidarity. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Several protesters in Hong Kong sang religious hymns and held up signs criticising police violence on Thursday, a day after street clashes left dozens injured and forced lawmakers to postpone debate on the bill. Wednesday saw tens of thousands of activists blockade key streets in central Hong Kong. Tensions flared when protesters tried to storm government buildings with police firing tear gas and rubber bullets at them. 72 demonstrators and 21 police officers were injured in the violence. Cardinal Zhong Tonghon is the Apostolic Administrator of Hong Kong. He spoke to Vatican News about the situation in his city.
At this time in Hong Kong, there's a lot of protests from some young people and also the Democrats or Democratic Party people. They are protesting the issue about the extradition rule promoted by the governments. This is our concern too. So we take this opportunity to discuss how to issue a short appeal to the people in Hong Kong to ask them mainly 3 points. We respect the freedom of individuals. Therefore, if they go out to express their opinion, so should be respected. But second point, if the people are using violence, so we said that this is not good, should be condemned. Maybe this is from my own words only, but at least we would be against this kind of attitude. Hurting other people, we use violence, or even throw the stones against the police. It's just, I mean, to try to maintain the stability and the order of society, which is, I think, this should not be allowed. And the third thing is, we would ask both sides to sit down and then to have a dialogue so that we try to express your own ideas and then the government can also express the reason why they promote this issue. So that through the dialogue, we try to reach a consensus so that we can help Hong Kong to be stable, the people in Hong Kong enjoying peace, tranquility. We also ask our Catholics pray for these situations.
And that was Cardinal Zhong Tonghon, the Apostolic Administrator of Hong Kong. The United Nations mission in Sudan today confirmed that scores of people were killed and over 100 houses were burnt down in a village in the central Darfur region earlier this week. Sister Carmel Ann reports.
The United Nations African Union mission in Darfur said that clashes between nomads and residents in the village of Delij this week killed 17 people and wounded 15 others. Scores of homes were also burnt down. The violence was allegedly caused by anger for the increase in commodity prices at the local market. In a separate incident, medics said Janjaweed militias fired live ammunition at civilians on Monday at the market in Delij, killing 11 people and wounding 20 others. The Janjaweed are Arab militias who have been accused of committing atrocities in Darfur during a civil conflict that started in 2003. According to UN estimates, the militias have killed up to 300,000 people and displaced 2.7 million. Ousted President Omar al-Bashir's government denied the allegations on Darfur. Janjaweed's fighters, who are known for their brutality, were incorporated into Sudan's paramilitary rapid support forces, which have been the dominant force in the capital Khartoum since Bashir was overthrown in April. I'm Sister Carmelan.
Meanwhile, an African Union envoy was in Sudan's capital today trying to mediate in the country's crisis. Leaders of the country's protest movement accused the ruling military of pursuing a brutal crackdown on protesters. Ethiopia and the US have recently stepped up diplomatic efforts to ease the growing tensions following the deadly dispersal last week by security forces of pro-democracy demonstrators' main protest sit-in in Khartoum. Protest organizers said over 100 people were killed in the capital and across Sudan in a sweeping crackdown. Indian anti-terrorism investigators have arrested a man with alleged links to the suicide bomber who planned Sri Lanka's deadly Easter Sunday attacks. Investigators said the arrested man had connections with the alleged ringleader of the attacks, claimed by the so-called Islamic State. The arrest followed raids on a suspected IS militant cell in the southern Indian city of Coimbatore. The Sri Lanka bombings killed more than 250 people and wounded 500 others. Pope Francis this morning received a group of pilgrims from Panama. As Sean Patrick Lovett reports, he thanked them for what he called the nobility he experienced during World Youth Day in Panama earlier this year.
World Youth Day in Panama took place in late January, but the event is still clearly very much alive in the Pope's memory. Meeting with a group of pilgrims from Panama in the Vatican on Thursday, Pope Francis thanked them for all the work that went into making World Youth Day 2019 such a success. "It's good to thank each other," he said, "because it's a word we often forget." The Pope focused his message to the pilgrims on the theme of gratitude. Referring to his experience in Panama in January, he said, "I too am very grateful for what I saw, a noble people. Nobility is not bought," he continued, "it's inherited, breathed, lived. You're either noble or you're not." Pope Francis described Panama as a noble country, where protocol can be broken even by bishops and civil authorities. He remembered seeing authorities, including the president, in jeans and a t-shirt in the midst of the people. "That's nobility," he explained. "It's respect for the people, love for the people." Pope Francis remembered the mini-youth day that was prepared especially for children. He also spoke of the importance of engaging children in what he called intergenerational dialogue, in order to draw inspiration from the roots so that children may grow and flourish. Ideological colonizations, he warned, kill nobility, while bridges built between one generation and another help one's own identity. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
More than 100 pontifical representatives, apostolic nuncios and permanent observers met with Pope Francis this morning in the Vatican. Similar meetings were convoked by the Pope in 2013 and 2016, and Pope Francis has expressed his desire that the triennial gatherings should continue in the future. As Chris Wells reports in his prepared remarks, the Pope gave a series of important indications to the nuncios and permanent observers.
In his prepared remarks, the Holy Father offers papal representatives a kind of decalogue of 10 qualities that characterize a nuncio. The nuncio, he says, is a man of God, following God in all things. He is also a man of the Church. A nuncio represents the Church, and especially the Pope, and not himself. He makes present and symbolizes the Holy Father, serving as a bridge connecting the Vicar of Christ with the people to whom he is sent. Pope Francis says that the nuncio is a man of apostolic zeal, with the duty of illuminating the world with the light of the Risen One, of bringing Christ to the ends of the earth. At the same time, he must be a man of mediation, of communion, of dialogue, and of reconciliation, one who must be impartial, seeking only justice and peace. The nuncio must also be a man of initiative, able to recognize and meet the challenges of the present moment, avoiding both rigidity and hypocritical and chameleon-like flexibility. Pope Francis says that the nuncio is also a man of obedience, which, for a Christian and a nuncio, refers to the call to follow the style of life of Jesus of Nazareth. A nuncio's life must also be marked by prayer, the Pope says, which brings true familiarity with Jesus, whom he is called to communicate, to proclaim, and to represent. Pope Francis then reminds the papal representatives that prayer, the path of discipleship and conversion, find in charity that is shared the verification of their evangelical authenticity. Pope Francis concludes his Decalogue for Nuncios with the virtue of humility, sharing with the nuncios and permanent observers the litany of humility composed by the servant of God, Cardinal Rafael Mary Del Valle, a former Secretary of State under St. Pius X. I'm Christopher Wells.
And finally, Pope Francis's message for the Third World Day of the Poor was released on Thursday. In it, he asks all Christian communities and all those who feel impelled to offer hope and consolation to the poor to collaborate to ensure that no one feels deprived of closeness and solidarity. Lydia O'Kane reports.
The theme for this year's World Day of the Poor message is "The hope of the poor shall not perish forever," taken from the Book of Psalms. The Pope writes that these words express a profound truth that faith impresses above all on the hearts of the poor, restoring lost hope in the face of injustice, sufferings, and the uncertainties of life. Pope Francis points out that down through the centuries, there have always been rich and poor. Today, too, he adds, we must acknowledge many new forms of bondage that enslave millions of men, women, young people, and children. How many times do we see poor people rummaging through garbage bins to retrieve what others have discarded as superfluous in the hope of finding something to live on or to wear, underlines the Pope. They themselves become part of a human garbage bin. They are treated as refuse without the slightest sense of guilt on the part of those who are complicit in this scandal. Turning his attention to Scripture, Pope Francis emphasizes how God is constantly acting in the interests of the poor. We can never elude the urgent appeal that Scripture makes on behalf of the poor, he says. Commitment to the promotion of the poor, including their social promotion, is not foreign to the proclamation of the gospel. On the contrary, he says, it manifests the realism of Christian faith and its historical validity. The Pope stresses that the option for those who are least, those whom society discards, is a priority that Christ's followers are called to pursue, so as not to impugn the Church's credibility, but to give real hope to many of our vulnerable brothers and sisters. Pope Francis notes that it's not easy to be witnesses of Christian hope in the context of a consumerist culture, a culture of waste concerned only for the spread of a shallow and ephemeral well-being. What is needed, he says, is a change of mentality in order to rediscover what is essential and to give substance and verve to the preaching of the kingdom of God. The Pope remarks that although the poor are in need of things like clothing and a warm meal, what they need most of all is love. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong, underlines Pope Francis. The poor save us because they enable us to encounter the face of Jesus Christ. The Pope concludes by saying that if the disciples of the Lord Jesus wish to be genuine evangelizers, they must sow tangible seeds of hope. The World Day of the Poor takes place this year on Sunday, the 17th of November. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us again tomorrow at the same time for more. My thanks go to Joe Mauriello in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.